The Walking Dead. It was a hot day in Santarém, Brazil. I looked at the sky and thought it might rain. We needed a good rain to delay the heat. It's too hot even for a comfortable siesta. But I had nothing much to do except sleep the next few days, having just returned from checking the rubber gather at points further down the Amazon. I had just drink enough ginslings to drown out the heat, I thought. It was then I saw Sandra McVeigh, or rather it was her little silver-winged seaplane I saw coming in from the direction of Ford Landelier. Plane came into the basin there on a perfect 3 points and taxied straight over to my river cruiser. Sandra climbed out and tossed me a line, brunette and bronzed from the sun. She was a picture in her white pith helmet, white shorts and halter. How's the life of the idle witch and the tab-tab-tab-tulus? I greeted, referring to the big rubber plantation that old man managed there. Double, she said. Thought maybe you'd like to take a swing over towards the upper Maraikuru with me. Hey, that's zombie land, I said. Tao won't be caught dead even on this end of the river. Tao, short for Tololo, was a native mechanic. Always flew with her, more to get her safely out of the jungle if she ever falls down than for any extraordinary attempt with a plane, I suspected. I know, she replied, but Tao isn't with me on this trip. Being flat on his back with the fever, which is why I decided this is my chance to see the zombie close up at last. That's a dangerous trip. Why, Johnny, she said. I don't know. Didn't know you really believed in zombies. I shook my head aside from the zombies. They've got a gas problem going all the way in there and back. If you should have to set down somewhere in that jungle, trip out would be rough. I dropped my gaze to her long, well-tanned legs, especially in those shorts. Ah, she said, these are just to impress you. I've got some perfectly good jungle garb aboard. And as for the gas, the two new auxiliary wing tanks, you see, there should solve the problem nicely. You know what I think. I think you're afraid you might really run across some zombies back there. I snorted. Nobody could call Johnny Gannon, checking to make it stick, pushing the plane clear of my cruiser. I jumped aboard from a supposedly tangent doll is somewhat very only, you are sometimes only scenic, which is how, after grasping, gassing up my fresh, and half an hour later, I happened to be flying over the jungle with a beautiful girl, such of the zombies of the native legend, which is supposed to be somewhere on the upper Mercurial River. As we picked up the river below us and began to follow it up towards its headwaters, we ran into a rain squall that shook the little plane from prop to rudder. She should have turned back right then, but since she hinted I was afraid once already today, I wasn't the guy to suggest it. She knew it too, but she was stubborn. We're so close now, I hate to turn back after coming all this distance. Maybe run out of the storm, he said hopefully, but we didn't. We climbed 10,000 feet and still we didn't get above it. This was a deep one, brought in no doubt by all the hot weather we had lately. And what had started as a simple rain squall was now a full-fledged storm, a really bad one and fast getting worse. She swung about then. But it was too late. The main body of storm had boiled in behind us. It was about twice as rough as the way we had been headed. It was getting blacker by the minute. Lightning ripped and thunder crashed about us. The wind continued to rise. Sandra brought the plane about once more and nosed it down sharply. I'm going to get set down the river, she cried, even with those white caps kicking up. That's our best bet. I say this to the girl, she could really handle the stick. She made a sweet landing on some pretty chubby water and taxed it over to the doubtful lee of a heavily wooded point that stuck out from one bank of the river. Laying right in against the bank, she cut motor, scrambled out of the cabin and grabbed the forward line. Toss out the tow anchor, she shouted. And then she leapt over into the bank to secure the plane by his forward line to a tree. It's almost dark as night now. I was busy with the anchor for a minute or two, making sure it was well hooked on the river bottom and pulling the line snug so the tail of the plane wouldn't rip around in the wind, smash itself to bits on the shore. The way the plane held fast to the jungle edge, I guess Sandra hadn't had too much trouble finding a tree or log to tie to, though all I could see in the rain and the darkness was a white blob of her clothing. Then lightning flashed, I saw her plainly. I saw something else that sent cold shivers down my spine. Standing behind her, reaching out one giant arm for her, was a man who must have stood a good 7 feet tall. But more than the size of him was his face that shot me to the core. He had the features of native Indians, except for his skin, which was definitely grey colour and sunken in the eye sockets. And below his cheekbones, like death's head. It couldn't be. I told myself zombies were just something out of ghost stories and imaginations, superstitious natives. And even I saw those vivid eye sockets. I knew I was wrong. Here was one in the flesh, a more feast of sight I had never seen. First I would give a blood-chilling scream. Then I started towards her, as fast as I could scramble across the plain. Another flashlight showed her being lifted like a tiny doll, with her zombie's arms fighting and twisting fervently. She gave vent to one scream after another. And no fault of anything but to free her from the clutches of this monster. I came in on the other side of him and slugged him with everything I had in a looping right hand. It was about as effective as trying to knock down an elephant with your fist. He just lashed out with his unburdened arm, sent me spinning back in the river like a tempest. I thought of piranhas as South American fish, and in some rivers will eat a man to the bone in a few seconds' time. And crocodiles, there must have been either around at the moment. And I remember the 3.330 rifle Sandra kept on the plane for shooting crocodiles, sometimes threatened to make a meal of a two. I climbed up fast and got the rifle. There were a few shells in the guns. Magazine, but I could find no extra ammunition. Couldn't waste time rummaging for it now. I was afraid I might lose all trace of them in the jungle. But after the first fringe of dense undergrowth along the river, there's no relatively open park-like area. I had no trouble spotting a giant zombie moving away in long, stiff-legged strides. I caught up to them easily, or within 20 feet of them, and shouted both Indian and Portuguese at the zombie, telling him to stop and drop the girl or I'd shoot. He heard the shouting all right. I didn't think he understood it. He paused confusingly, then dropped the now inert Sandra to the ground. I wondered if he had squeezed the life from her, or broken her neck, or whether she had just fainted. There was no time to ponder this, though, for the giant immediately swung about and came toward me. Fired once to try to scare him off. He kept coming, so I aimed for his shoulder. I'm a good shot, if I do say so. I knew I'd hit him, yet he kept coming without even a break in stride. I shot for the chest and then the stomach. The steel the zombie came on. I realised then I couldn't kill this thing since he was already dead. I hope was doomed incessantly dim. He was very close now, lumbering towards me. Started back him up with a shot at his legs. It was the last shot I broke one of his legs. He was no more than 5 feet from me when he fell. I knew it was the last shell of the gun, because for an instant I didn't think he would go down and pull the trigger again, only to hear it click on emptiness. I ran over to pick up Sandra. I saw other zombies emerging from the corpse of trees about 20 yards away. All were huge and grey-skinned. I remembered the Indian legend now. It told how only the most massive warriors was chosen for this life after death existence. I picked Sandra up and made for the plane, casting hurried glances over my shoulder to see the whole clan in hot pursuit. I slapped her faces as I ran, for only she knew how to handle flame. She started to come to when I tossed her in the river, cast the shoreline off the shoreline, lifted with her, splatting out of the water into flame, and pulled up the tail anchor. She got the plane going, and we got out of the air, got safely home despite the storm. Sandra's hair turned white overnight, and she's now my wife. She's my wife now. We never go near the Mokoro River.